Welcome back, everyone, to our deep dive series. Today, we're looking at a transcript you shared with us, The Sunless Citadel Session 3, from the GM Wintermute YouTube channel.
That's right. And our goal here isn't just to replay the session blow by blow.
No, definitely not. We want to dig into it, you know? Look at the players' choices, the challenges they hit, and really unpack what happened.
Exactly. Sort of a behind-the-scenes analysis, focusing on the key moments and how the story unfolded in this specific session.
Okay, so session 3 kicks off with a bit of a recap. Where were the players at this point?
Well, they just managed to capture those two dragon meepos, the baby dragons.
Right, but that wasn't easy, was it? Didn't they lose someone?
They did, yeah. One character died getting those dragons back. So high stakes already. But they also got some rewards from the Kobold Queen for their trouble.
And they took a breather, a short rest.
Yep, took a short rest, healed up a bit. Which, honestly, was probably a good call after losing a party member. Sets the stage, you know? Success, loss, reward, and then a moment to regroup.
Makes sense. So after the rest, they're talking to the Kobold Queen again. What's the main thing they're trying to get from her?
They're asking about some missing people, right? People who supposedly went off to fight a dragon and just vanished.
Ah, the main quest hook, maybe?
Could be. And the Queen gives them something useful. She confirmed she saw the kids, the missing children, passing through the ruins.
Okay, so confirmation. But did she know what happened to them?
Well, this is the crucial bit. She says she hasn't seen any remains, which is, you know, a sliver of hope. It suggests they might still be alive somewhere in the Citadel.
And that probably lit a fire under them.
You'd think so.
Mm.
It seems to push them towards exploring parts of the Citadel they hadn't checked out yet, specifically looking for any sign of these kids.
Right. They were weighing up a couple of different paths, weren't they?
Yeah. One area they hadn't explored at all, and another route they sort of knew already. Plus, they learned about another way into Goblin territory.
Oh, another entrance.
Yeah, one that the Queen mentioned wasn't currently trapped, at least not on the Goblin side.
Oh.
She even gave him some rough sketches of the area.
Helpful, even if limited.
Limited is right. She admitted her knowledge wasn't great because the goblins showed up around the same time her tribe did. So still lots of unknowns.
Okay, so they're considering their options, but then one thing really catches their eye. This locked door.
Yeah, the door with the purple arrow mark down below the main kobold area.
And the kobolds hadn't been through it. Why not?
Or that's what makes it interesting. It wasn't just locked. It had two locks, a regular mechanical one and also a magical one, an arcane lock spell.
Ooh, double security. That screams important or dangerous.
Exactly. The fact that kobolds avoided it just makes it, like, even more tempting for the players. A classic dungeon crawl element.
So naturally, they try to open it. Navin, right, he steps up.
Yep. And the Game Master calls for checks. He needed, I think, a strength check and a dexterity check using these tools.
Okay, so not just finesse, but brute force might be needed too.
Seems like it. And using these tools properly usually requires being a rogue for that proficiency bonus, which adds to your roll. I wasn't straightforward.
Did he get it first try?
No. Took a few attempts, actually. Built a little tension there, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes those locks are stubborn.
But eventually, success.
Eventually, yeah. The door clicks open.
And what's inside? Just an empty room.
Not quite empty. It's described as pretty rundown masonry walls, part of it collapsed into rubble. But the key feature is another door.
Another one.
Yep, a stone door on the western wall. And this one has a rearing dragon.
Mm.
And the keyhole. It's right in the dragon's mouth.
Ah, okay, that's specific. Does that ring a bell for them? Like, have they seen a key like that?
It does. They realize they saw the kobold queen with the dragon head key earlier, but, they don't have it.
Right, so back to the kobolds who are what, still hanging around?
Apparently so, yeah. They asked the kobold about borrowing the queen's key.
Let me guess, she's not just giving it away for free.
Not a chance.
Yeah.
The kobolds figure she'd probably sell it for, like, 50 gold pieces. Ouch.
50 gold, wow.
Or they suggest. Maybe rent it for 25 gold.
Still steep, but better. Did they haggle?
They did. Managed to get the queen to agree to the rental for 25 gold. A bit of successful negotiation there.
Okay, so they fork over the 25 gold and get the key.
Huh.
What next? Check if it's magical.
One player tries to cast detect magic on the key in the door. Yeah. But, oops.
Oops.
He'd forgotten to prepare the spell. Happens to the best of us.
Ha. Right, so no magical detection.
Well, the GM points out that sometimes just touching a magic item gives you a sense of it. But in this case, the key feels totally normal. not magical.
Interesting. So a fancy key, but no magic involved.
Seems that way. Could be significant, could be nothing.
Before they use the key, there's a reminder about loot they already got from the queen, right?
Oh, yeah. Important bit of bookkeeping. They got 3 elixirs of health, basically healing potions.
Always useful.
And a feather token. The kind that turns into a big oak tree, but only outdoors. So maybe not super useful down here.
Yeah, situational. What else?
A couple of scrolls. Mage armor and spider climb. Good utility spells.
And they figure out who gets what?
Yeah, they divvy it up.
Yeah.
Standard party inventory management, deciding who can best use the scrolls or who needs the healing elixirs handy.
Okay, loot sorted, key rented. Time to open the dragon door.
Right. Key goes in, lock turns. Behind it, a corridor, about 20 feet long, leading to another closed stone door.
Of course, another door. Is the corridor trapped? They seem wary.
They're definitely wary. The air is described as still, which can sometimes mean, you know, undisturbed traps.
So how do they check it out? Send the rogue.
Even more cautious than that. First, they roll a little fist-sized rock down the corridor and nothing happens.
Okay.
Then they grab one of those cracked globes they found earlier, remember those? And they roll that down the hall.
Ah, like a bowling ball. Smart. Does that do anything?
Bingo. As the globe rolls, a section of the floor sinks down slightly. Just a bit.
Uh-oh.
And thwip. An arrow shoots out from somewhere above the far door. Pressure plate trap.
Found it. The hard way, kinda. So how do they deal with it? Try to jump over it?
Nope. They're smarter than that.
Yeah.
They identify the plate, so they use a pit, you know, climbing spike.
Yeah.
They hammer it into the edge of the pressure plate, wedging it down so it can't spring back up and trigger the arrow again. Trap disabled.
Nice. Clever use of equipment.
Ugh.
Okay. Trap dealt with. What's behind door number 2, or 3, I guess?
This door opens inward into a hall. It's really dusty, like really dusty. And at the far end, the north end, which is rounded, there's this big statue.
Another statue.
Yep, 10 feet tall. White marble, but with red veins running through it. It's a coiled dragon.
Sounds impressive. Anything else about the room? Footprints.
That's the thing. No footprints at all in the thick dust.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Adds to the atmosphere, right? Untouched for ages.
Definitely spooky. Do they just walk up to the statue?
They start moving closer, yeah. And as they do, the statue's marble jaws move.
Whoa! Okay, didn't expect that. Does it attack?
Oh.
No, it speaks. A voice comes from it, asking a riddle.
A riddle? Classic. What was it?
It asks, "We come at night without being fetched. We disappear by day without being stolen. What are we?"
Okay. Night. Day. Disappear. Sounds like stars. Did they guess stars?
They did guess stars. Seems logical, right?
Yeah. Was it right?
Nope.
Wrong answer.
Oh, man. What happens when you get a riddle wrong from a magic statue? Does it blast them?
Thankfully, no blasting. Instead, there's a grinding sound, and a section of the wall behind the statue pivots inwards. A secret door opens up.
Huh. So failing the riddle opened a different path. Interesting twist.
Yeah, maybe the riddle wasn't just a gate, but a choice. Get it right, maybe one way opens. Get it wrong, this way opens.
Okay, so what's behind the secret door?
Another hall, also dusty. About 20 feet wide. This one has 6 alcoves carved into the walls, 3 on each side.
Alcoves? Like for more statues?
Mostly. 5 of the 6 alcoves contain statues. These look like tall elves in plate armor, also carved from that red-veined white marble. Okay, 5 statues. What about the 6th alcove? The southwest one.
That one's empty, or at least whatever was in it isn't visible from the entrance. There's also a stone archway at the far west end of this hall.
Leading where?
It leads into a wider room, and they can see a sort of greenish glow coming from it. But right before the archway, there's a pit, a dark pit cutting across the passage.
Another hazard. Greenish glow, empty alcove, pit. This place sounds creepy. How do they proceed?
Cautiously. One player casts dancing lights to send some illumination down the hall, checking out the statues and trying to see into that empty alcove.
Good idea. See anything suspicious?
Just the statues, the pit, the archway. The empty alcove remains mysterious for now.
Did they check for magic? Maybe the statues are magical?
Someone casts detect magic, yeah. Sweeps the hall. Nothing. No magical auras detected on the statues or anything else in the immediate area.
Huh. Non-magical statues, then. What about traps? Another rolling globe.
You guessed it. They use another cracked globe, the transcript literally calls it a bowling ball this time, and roll it down the hall, aiming towards that shadowy southwest alcove.
And any hidden plates or darts this time?
Nope. The globe rolls all the way down, bumps into the back of the alcove, and shatters. No traps triggered.
Okay. Seems clear. For now. So they head into the hall.
They do. Carefully moving past the statues. And as they get further in, they notice something in the dust. near that empty alcove. Footprints, but really weird ones. Tiny humanoid feet, but with distinct, sharp, claw-like nails.
Claws. Not goblin tracks, then. Not kobold.
Definitely not. The players recognize they're different.
Yeah.
Something else has been here. And the tracks lead from near the broken statue across the hall towards the pit and the archway beyond.
Okay, that is intriguing. A new creature type, maybe. So the tracks lead towards the pit and the room with the green light.
Exactly. So they approach the archway, peering into the wider chamber beyond the pit.
Describe this final room. What's the vibe?
It's definitely got a vibe. The floor and walls are covered in these cracked marble tiles, but these ones are violet veined. In each corner, there are sconces holding torches, but the fire is this eerie greenish color.
Green fire. Never a good sign. What's in the middle?
Dead center, there's a big marble sarcophagus, about 9 feet long, covered in dragon carvings with a dragon's head sculpted on it.
Yeah.
And the lid looks heavy, secured with these big rusting iron clamps. It's definitely locked.
A sarcophagus. Locked. In a room with green fire and a pit trap entrance.
Okay. And don't forget the pit itself. It's right before the archway, 10 feet deep, rough walls, but maybe climbable. And the bottom is just lined with spikes. Nasty.
Yeah, really nasty. So they're looking at this room. They see the weird tracks leading towards the pit. What's their first move? Jump the pit.
They're still cautious. They note the tracks leading towards the pit, not necessarily across it. One player uses dancing lights again, creating a little humanoid light figure.
To do what?
To have it walk across the pit, basically. See if anything reacts, if there's another trap, maybe something down in the pit.
Clever. Like a little light probe. Did anything happen?
Nope. The light figure walks across. Nothing happens. The room remains still. Green fire flickering, sarcophagus waiting.
Wow. Okay, so that's where session 3 leaves off. Poised on the edge of a pit, looking at a mysterious sarcophagus with unknown clawed tracks around.
Pretty much, yeah. A real cliffhanger moment.
So looking back at this session, it's this great mix, isn't it? They negotiated with the kobolds, solved well, attempted to solve a riddle, bypassed some nasty traps, and did a lot of careful exploration.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You really see the players thinking, reacting to the environment the GM built. They use their skills, their spells, their equipment. And their wits, mostly.
Right. And consider the breadcrumbs laid out. The fact the queen hadn't seen remains, the non-magical dragon key, the riddle leading to a secret path, these weird clawed tracks.
Yeah, lots of little details that feel important. What are those tracks? What's the deal with the red-veined statues versus the violet-veined room? And, of course, what's in the sarcophagus?
Exactly. It sets up so many questions for the next session. It's a fantastic example of how a game like this builds mystery and keeps players engaged, you know, moving from one challenge to the next, but the underlying story keeps deepening.
Definitely. It shows how exploration and overcoming obstacles can weave together to tell a really compelling emergent story.
It really does. So for you, thinking about this whole session, session 3, what was the standout moment? What really jumps out as the most, I don't know, significant or interesting part?